You're listening to The Sociable Scribes, two professional writers who work hard, play hard, and love to have fun on the job. Word stylist Nikita Rowell Stevens and publishing consultant Kim Ely talk about the topics and questions they hear most often from their clients. Let's talk about writing, the good, the bad, and the awesome, while addressing popular questions and concerns from real writers like you. If you're a writer, someone who aspires to write, or just wants to learn more about writing and publishing and have a lot of fun along the way, welcome to the tribe. Here are your hosts, Nikita and Kim, two writers who love to socialize, the Sociable Scribes.
So, Kim, what's behind your curtain today?
So, behind my curtain is had a really cool quote from a client today. We were working together and, you know, talking about her project and what she wants to do and what she wants to accomplish. And she was really excited and said, you know what, I no longer feel overwhelmed. I'm feeling a lot of clarity. And I think it really made me think about the fact that we all need that sometimes, right? I mean, we all have times where, you know, all our thoughts are jumbled in our head, or maybe, you know, we're trying to juggle too many things at once. And to kind of stop and have that awareness and get that clarity is super valuable. Plus, it just made me feel really good. I'm like, oh my gosh, I made a difference. And that making a difference is such a big boost when you're getting to do something that you feel is meaningful. So that was behind my curtain today.
That's awesome. That's a good feeling. That's a really good feeling.
What about you?
So I am getting excited and getting reignited because I've taken like a little pause break on the Operation Manopoly series. And I'm starting to gear back up to get started again. And I'm super excited about it because I just absolutely love the characters. And I am also working on some really fun, creative marketing things for the series, just because we just have some plans to create a really strong brand behind it, just because it's a strong series with really strong characters. And I really have a vision to really bring those characters to life, almost like literally, so people can really engage with them and in a way that you may not have thought or been able to do from a book before. So I've got some big plans for it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, Nikita, I am so excited to talk with our amazing guest today.
Oh my goodness. Yes. As someone who read The Miracle Mornings, I'm thrilled. Can't wait.
Awesome. Awesome. So let me introduce the amazing Honoré Corder. So Honoré is a publishing strategist, TEDx and keynote speaker, and author of more than 50 books, including You Must Write a Book and You Must Market Your Book. Good advice in both of those titles. And she and Hal Elrod co-created the Miracle Morning book series. So Honoré passionately coaches business professionals, writers, and aspiring nonfiction authors who want to publish their books to bestseller status, create a platform, and develop multiple streams of income one-on-one. And in her publishing PhD course, we adore her because she's a brilliant badass. Welcome, Honoré.
Welcome.
You guys are so cute. What a great way to start my day. Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Oh,
we love so delighted. Yay. Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to dive right in, if that's okay.
Yeah, bring it on.
Awesome. So Miracle Mornings is such a great book. As you mentioned, Nikita, it's mm-hmm. been one of those books that's been such a huge inspiration for me. So how did you and Hal create the book?
So Hal wrote The Miracle Morning. He wrote the original book, and I had authored the 6-book series, The Successful Single Mom.
Awesome.
And read The Miracle Morning, left a review, and he reached out and he said, you have a series. I want one. We should have a conversation.
Oh my God.
How cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And he originally suggested that I write The Miracle Morning for Single Moms, which never got written because he had a couple of books in process And I was kind of done with writing books for single moms. I felt like I had said all the things that I wanted to say. And so we just started with the two books that he had had in process for a while that weren't really making progress as quickly as he would have liked. And that's where we started. And we were kind of off to the races.
So I have a quick follow-up question to that, because I have to know, what was in that review that you wrote that got his attention like that?
That I was the author of a book series.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Yeah. I don't think it was the contents of the review. It was my tagline. Author, comma, the successful single mom book series.
Very
he
cool.
He saw that I was an author and I had a series, and he was focused on turning his book into a book series. So I think that was it. I'd have to ask him.
Okay.
Good question, Nikita. I don't know. So far, questions one, honoré zero.
No, you're doing great.
One. Give me another one. Come on.
Are you a morning person? Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
That's what I was going to ask.
How early?
For real.
How early?
Today, 4:15.
Dang.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Like, you've That's had like a full standard. Half a day already.
Yes, I am pretty. By the time I get to lunchtime, I have knocked off a bunch of things. But I also, like, on the flip side, I have an event tonight. I'm going to a book launch party.
Oh, fun.
6 to 8. And by 8 o'clock, I'm going to be like, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, were you a morning person before the book series?
Yes. One of the things I said about the miracle morning was that I could have written it, except that I didn't die. I would always tease Hal that he got the cooler story, right? I was like, you got to die for 6 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Right. So I was like, okay, you can keep this one. So, but I was a morning person and up early before I read the miracle morning, was just intrigued by the title, was kind of doing a little hair flip, like, oh, I do all these things already. The lifesavers, I was already doing them. So I was like, okay, I'm good.
That's cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. So, honoré, a lot of our listeners are first time writers. They haven't published their book. So what advice would you recommend that a first time writer follow?
Oh, how long is this segment? 4 hours and 37 minutes. I think first, and I'm working on a book I haven't talked about yet, but part of what I can announce it here, I haven't made it public yet, is the book is There Is No Such Thing as Writer's Block.
Ooh,
that's good.
And that's good. One section of the book is about clearing the decks, which is eliminating everything that's in the way of writing, and then setting the stage, which is putting everything in place that you need to write. Kind of like cooks do. Cooks do mise en place, right? Which they lay in the carrots and they get out the chicken and they get everything in place so that when it's time to cook, they can cook. So those are just a couple of things. What clearing the deck means, setting aside time to write, getting support from your spouse, significant other, family members, the people around you, saying no to things that you need to say no to in order to say yes to writing. Because in order to spend 15 minutes or 15 hours writing something, you're going to have to give up something, right? And it could be something that's important that you're doing, and it could be something that's not important that you're doing, like social media, or, you know, like, where are you spending your time? I don't want to say wasting your time, but where are you spending your time that you could repurpose on writing? And it's always a choice, because there are so many things that I want to do, and yet I have to say, this is my hour. This is the hour that I'm writing.
Right.
And I have to say, when you're doing something, when you're doing anything, you are saying yes to that one thing and you're saying no to everything else. And so in order to write, first-time authors, I think, or first-time writers, aspiring authors, will sometimes think, well, I'm just going to find the time to do it, or I'm just going to do it when I feel like doing it, as opposed to, this is the time that I'm doing it. And I show up to do it when I feel like doing it, and I show up to do it when I don't feel like doing it. And that's the difference between an aspiring amateur writer and a published professional writer, right? Is at some point you have to make the decision, this is when I'm going to write, this is what I'm writing, and I'm going to sit down to write when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it.
Right.
Honoré, do you have any suggestions for writers that would actually help them to be focused during that time? Any methods or things that you use to make that time productive for them?
Absolutely. Set a timer. I work the Pomodoro method, working in a 25-minute sprint. Mm-hmm. And in that 25 minutes, I'm going to see a squirrel because I live in the country. So literally a squirrel will go across the roof in front of me. So it's eliminate squirrels, real or imagined. Right? When you're writing, and I think it's building a muscle. Mm-hmm. I know it's building a muscle. So eliminate the things that are probably going to interrupt you. So if you have to go squirrel away, to stick with the squirrel analogy, if you have to hide in the bathroom with your laptop because you have littles, mm-hmm. or you have to sit in your car in your lunch hour or get somewhere 15 minutes early or 20 minutes early so you can write, or get in your car to go home from work, but sit in your car for 15 or 20 minutes and write, or set that time before you go to bed. Okay, everybody, I'm going to bed. Ooh, super tired. And then you're sitting there. Cross your fingers, right? So you have to put blocks around, put arms around your writing time.
Nice.
And if you have to, if you don't yet have the muscle, because I think professionals do things that amateurs aren't able to do until you build that muscle, until that muscle is strong to go, oh, I really want to go find another word for significant on thesaurus. But I know if I go over to thesaurus, I might have Facebook open and then I could go to Facebook. And then the next thing you know, your timer's gone off and you don't have a word count.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I will just type word.
Hmm.
I won't spend time out of my manuscript to go do anything else. I will type word. I'll type go find another word for significant. And I just keep typing. I posted it on social media today and it was something like music on, candle lit, coffee black, fingers on keyboard, writing, right? It's like all the things that have to be in place. And then I write and I have my timer set. And I actually have alarms set because, nerd alert, I actually write at the same time every day. So awesome. 5:25 is you have 5 minutes to get fresh coffee and tea alarm. 5:30, the alarm goes off and I write. 5:55, it's like, okay, what's happening? Do you need more tea and coffee? And 6:00, I write again. So it's that. It's the same all the time. So you can set a timer or you can already have alarms set on your phone that say, okay, it's time to write. Like, this is what we're doing. This is our job. This is what we're doing right now.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Cause I think a lot of us set alarms. I never thought about getting that specific with it, but you do fall into a routine, don't you? Like similar to working out in the morning. This is how we roll. Coffee, check in at 5:55, 6:00, we're writing again.
Yep. And the music, I got to have good music.
And the music. Exactly.
Got to have music. I light a candle. I've got the whole situation and I leave my desk at the end of the day, ready to write. So when I open it, and I put in my password, it opens right to the manuscript where I finished.
Nice.
So it's the little things, because I think morning time goes by so fast.
It does. Yeah.
Right? It's morning time and Facebook time is different from treadmill time or plank time. Right? Some minutes feel really fast and some minutes feel really slow. And if I'm taking the time to prepare, because I've been doing it for a long time, I figured out that if I lay out my workout clothes and I lay out my work clothes and I leave my computer ready to write, and I've already written in my bullet journal what it is that I need to accomplish, I get things done more effectively, more efficiently. And then I have more time to fool around, right? Because I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. I'm able to take breaks. I am able to call my best friend and go, I'm taking a lunch break. What are you doing? And check in, go do fun things, take time off, because I'm really productive in the times that I'm working. And when I'm not working, I'm really not productive.
Love it.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. So I have to ask, and I think you and I may have talked about this when we first met, but with pantsers and plotters, where do you fall? Are you more pantser or plotter?
I'm a planster.
A planster?
Elaborate, please.
So a pantser just sits down and is like, what are we doing? Let's just have a good time. What's happening? A plotter is someone who says, I'm going to outline everything and then I'm going to dig into my outline. And I'm going to dig into my outline. And so I'm right in the middle. Awesome. I do an outline And then I let the muse. I let the force be with me. Right. So because sometimes I think it's like going on a drive. It's like, I'm going to go on a drive. I know I want to end up back home. I want to stop somewhere for ice cream and lunch, but it's not a dental appointment. I don't have a destination. I don't have a time I have to be there necessarily. Although I do work from a schedule. I do, when I decide I have my production schedule for my books and I send it to my assistant every year and she tells me I'm crazy. And every year I write the books. And everything gets scheduled on time. When I work with a client to do for them, that's the expectation. It's like, this is when we engage. This is when we finish. Mm. Don't upset mama. Mama doesn't want to be upset. We're keeping this train on schedule, right? I've built in plenty of time for everything. Procrastination is something you do in your regular life. It's not something you do in your book life.
Nice.
When I sit down to write a book that's going to publish on October 23rd, I work backwards so that I know exactly when everything is going to happen. This is when I get my book cover. This is when it goes to the editor and everybody's booked. So that's an extra level of accountability, is knowing that my editor's going, so you have that book coming to me in 10 days, right? Yes.
That's awesome.
And it's ready. So I'm right in the middle. I'm a planster. I plan it, but then I go, I add in enough creativity thinking time that what I thought I wanted to write or what I thought I wanted to include could actually be better. Because I've created that think time, that space for creativity.
I love that. Kim and I are both. I don't know if I'm more extreme than you because you plan a little bit better than me, Kim. But I know we're definitely pantsers. And I feel like there was some room to kind of move in the middle. Like I really hate outlining. Like I love to just get at the computer and start. But I learned from an experience I had working with an agency writing romance books for them where I had to create outlines because I was ghostwriting. And so the client would come and say, this is what I want. And we would have to put together the outline and then just write the book from the outline. And I was not used to that. But what I learned from doing that is when I took the time to do that outline, and it wasn't anything like crazy or too tedious, my writing speed was crazy because I knew exactly what was going to happen in the book at each stage. So I am a huge fan of that. I'm trying to work my way in the middle because I think that's going to like increase my efficiency like 10 times. And it makes sense exactly what you just said.
Yeah, I like it. Awesome. I also think there's no one right answer. And if you're a pantser that writes epic books and they're doing really well or any type of writing and it's working for you, then don't change it. I mean, a million times I've tried to use Scrivener. And I'm not using Scrivener. My hair is silver. Scrivener didn't come out until I already had silver hair. I'm not going to learn it. I'm just not. It could be the best thing for me ever. I'm just going to stick with Word. Word works for me. And if you have something that's working for you, or you know intuitively that that's how you do your best work. Mm-hmm. If you're a night owl like my husband, like he's like morning starts at 8:30. Right? If that's what works for you, then lean into that. Go all in on that and tune out what everybody else is saying. Because I think a lot of times, another piece of advice for aspiring writers is that they go, well, what is she doing? What is he doing? What are they doing? But then it's like, well, she writes at 4:30, but he writes at midnight. I don't know what to do. I'm going to do both of them. Wait a minute, I'm exhausted. And then you're frozen. And so sometimes too much advice can get you out of your way. Sometimes it's just getting quiet and saying, well, what do I think about it?
That's true. I love that.
What do I think works best for me? Do I think outlining to the nth degree? Do I think writing beats and doing character Bibles and putting up a vision board of all, does that work for you? Then please do that. Just write your book, right? Just get it out there in whatever way works best for you.
Kim, can I throw in another question before we dig into the TED Talk piece?
Absolutely. Let's have another question. Then we'll go to a break and then we'll dive into the TED Talk.
Okay. I want to segue from this because you're talking about, you know, do what works for you. It's talking about efficiency. You work with Hal on the Miracle Mornings. You're already a morning person. And so I want to get some perspective. Kim, are you a morning person?
I do wake up to be efficient. Ish. I'm not naturally.
Okay. Me either. So it's a stretch for me to be a morning person. But what I have learned about myself is that I am more productive in the morning than I am in the evening. The later it gets in the day, the more I'm like, I don't feel like doing it. So I know that there's something to that for me to do to start my mornings earlier to be more productive. So my question to you is, I know I'm not going to do 4:15. Like, that's not going to happen. Like,
okay.
I tried to go to a spin class at 6 o'clock in the morning once, and I felt like dead girl walking for real. It took a while for me to wake up on that bike. I mean, so I want to move my mornings earlier, but at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm honoring myself and what works for me. Yep. So how would you advise, not just me, Kim, the entire audience, on how to navigate that when you know that mornings are like an effective time?
Well, so first of all, you are a morning person. Everyone is a morning person. It just depends on when the morning starts. Right? let's just take out that I'm only a morning person because my wake up time has a 4 in it, but your wake up time has a 6 in it. So you must not be a morning person. Well, that's not entirely correct. I'm going to start with beliefs, right? Which is believing that you are a morning person because you're saying I'm more productive in the morning. If you were a night owl, you would be more productive at night, which is my husband. Okay.
Okay.
So let's change the self-talk around whether you're a morning person or not, because I think what we say, what we utter becomes our outer world. So what you're uttering, what you're reinforcing is going to show up in your life. I would look at your power down routine as much as your power up routine. Once I get into the rhythm of 4:15, 4:30, when I go to bed early enough, it's an easy wake up. It's easy. I wake up before my alarm. What I think a lot of people do is they go, well, I want to stay up late.
Yep.
And I want to get up and be productive.
Yep.
That only works for me if I can have a nap. So if I can put an hour nap in the middle of my day, or a 20, 25 minute nappuccino in the middle of the day, then I can do a little candle burning. I can stay up a little bit later and get up a little bit earlier. I actually like it. I just came off of about 4 weeks of vacation, and I never got completely off of my schedule, but I was up till 10, 10:30, 11, a few of the nights, still woke up at 5:30. I was going to sing like a lark, right? Because that's when I'm programmed to wake up after a certain amount of time. I mentioned a little bit about laying out my clothes and things like that. So I do a bunch of mise en place at night. So what am I wearing tomorrow? What is my doing a workout in the morning? I have my schedule. I set the coffee. I set up the tea. I fill a bottle of water. I have everything ready to go. But I also start to have that power down at about 6 o'clock. I'm not going to bed. I'm not lights out till between 9 and 9:30. But that last hour, I've got a cup of tea. I'm reading a book. I'm not out running around except tonight. I'm not going to get home till about 8:30. So I'm going to have to get home and shower and get in the bed and then try to be asleep by about 9:30, because I've got another full day that doesn't end until 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So it's very interesting when I have things that happen in the evening.
Yeah.
I have to really manage my energy, and I have to be able to kind of close my eyes a little bit and do a little recharge. You would be amazed what a 25-minute meditation or nap would do for recharging, right? Just, and a lot of people say, well, I can't sleep during the day. Well, you don't have to sleep. You can if you can, but you can just lean back, turn all the lights off and close your eyes and just recharge your batteries a little bit. Your phone gets low, you plug it in, right? You plug yourself in a little. So I would look at your power down routine, Nikita. I would look at what time are you going to bed? Because if you're trying to do a 6 a.m. spin class, but you went to bed at 11, and you need 8 hours of sleep, it's just going to be problematic. And then you're going to say, well, I'm not a morning person because I wasn't wide awake. So it's really kind of setting yourself up for success. There are all the external things too that have nothing to do with you internally, but how is you share a bed with anybody and what are they doing, right? Do they go to bed at a different time than you? Do they go to bed at the same time? Do you have littles? Do you have animals? I mean, right in the middle of my workout this morning, my dog was like, and I need to go out. So there you go, right? When you have those external factors, you have to give yourself grace and or prepare for those.
That makes sense.
Well, it's a whole thing. It's not just how would you recommend that I get up earlier because I'm more productive in the morning. It's how can you get up better, more effectively, so that you have the energy to be productive. And in the Miracle Morning, Hal talks about the first 10 days, the second 10 days, and the third 10 days, right? Until it becomes a habit. Like I spent a month on vacation and I didn't wake up after 6:30, even one day, even when I stayed that late. So normal people are like, 6:30 is when I wake up. That's my life. For me, that's my Sunday sleep in time.
Wow.
Right. So it's awesome. Just the way I have engineered things, because I could easily go to, I'll stay up till 10:30. I'll get up at 6:30, 6 or 6:30. I lose that critical quiet time when I am most productive. It's almost like I'm channeling things.
Yeah.
I'm channeling my productivity and I refuse to give that up. And I'm going to say one more thing. And that is, I believe that in order to be high performance, you have to be high maintenance. You have to put systems in place. You wouldn't bring a Lamborghini home and then put regular unleaded fuel in it. Run it for too long and not get the oil change and not get the regular maintenance, get the tires rotated. And so if you want to be high performance, you have to put your high maintenance schedule in place. And I don't mean high maintenance, like I need vanilla scented candles and white M&Ms and to be carried around a pillow. Although I'm not opposed to any of those things, just for the record, right? Putting your process in place so that you can be your very best.
Yes.
And also putting in time when you're not doing anything is also very, very helpful for all of that to fall into place.
Awesome. 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 On that amazing note, let's take a quick break and we will be right back. All right. Oh my gosh. We are back. We are talking with Honoré Corder, and oh my gosh, Nikita, I've been taking pages full of notes.
Yes. I'm jotting a lot down.
Oh my gosh. So Honoré, you did an amazing TED talk and it's called Authenticity is the New Black, which I love that title. So in the beginning of your talk, you mentioned, you know, different challenges that you've experienced. What do you say to writers who say something like, I can't write a book because I'm left-handed, or I was born on the wrong side of the tracks? What do you say to somebody like that?
I would say I am not going to co-sign their BS because I am left-handed and I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. So sorry. Call again later. Right? No one at this number knows you. I would say that you can argue for or against anything. And you have to turn impossible into I'm possible.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
It would be really helpful if you would search for all of the reasons, if you would tell the RAS part of your brain, the reticular activating system part of your brain, to look for instances of how you can do something and find other people who have done it.
Mm-hmm. I love
there
that.
Are other left-handed people who are born on the wrong side of the tracks who are authors. And so if you look for people who provide evidence that you can do it, you will find your story and their story, and it will encourage you to move forward. Now, of course, the opposite is always true. You can always say, well, you know what? I was born on Mars and I'm orange, so I can't do it. Right?
Right.
And I wasn't going to use a real example because I don't want to put an idea in someone's head. It's like writer's block. In the beginning of the writer's block book, I say, if you don't have writer's block, then just skip to chapter 5, because I don't want to be the person that tells you that you might have something that had never occurred to you that you don't have. Right. So yeah, let's just skip right over it if you don't have it. And if you have something, question your assumption that that is true. If it does not serve you and does not get you what you want, question your assumption and challenge your assumption that what you are saying is true. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough education. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too southern. Yeah. I'm too northern, right? I mean, just challenge it, question it, and see if there isn't anybody anywhere who has ever done it in spite of the thing that you're claiming is the thing that's standing in the way of you doing it.
I love that.
And then also, if someone tells you you can't do it, don't listen to them. They don't know.
Great advice. Great advice. Love that. So Honoré, you also mentioned in your talk wanting 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that, please?
Well, obviously, authors all want honest 5-star reviews. That's what we want. It's actually part of how I connected with Hal, because I had decided I wanted more 5-star reviews. And I read a lot. I read 2 to 3 books a week.
Dang.
I read 2 books yesterday.
Wow.
So But I realized that I was not leaving reviews for the books that I could leave 4 and 5 star reviews for. So here I am thinking, well, Kim read my book and she didn't review my book. Like, what is her problem? Why did she not say this is 5 stars? This is the best book I've ever read. And yet I am not taking my own advice. I am not leaving reviews for every single book that I am reading. And if I finish a book, that means I can give it a 4 or 5 star review because life is too short. I don't read books that I don't love anymore.
Yes.
Unless someone's paying me to read it, I will not read it for pleasure, right? I will, all books are read for pleasure unless that's the side of my business that I'm doing, then I'll read a book, even if it's not something I would have chosen to read for pleasure. If I have read an entire book, I can leave a 4 or 5 star review. And I realized I just wasn't taking the time to do that and decided that from then on, anytime I could leave a 4 or 5 star review for a book, I was going to leave a 4 or 5 star review for a book. Now, I will insert something that was not happening when I did that TEDx talk. And that is this. Recently, there was a group of people, 4 people that did video reviews and posted them on YouTube for You Must Market Your Book. And it was one person in the group who said, I want all of us to read this book, but they're all authors. And then they did video reviews. Now, one of them didn't like the book. And all my friends were mad, right? They were all like, we're going to go and leave comments and all the things. And I was like, no, because nobody, I don't care who you are, not one author ever only gets 4 and 5 star reviews. It's impossible. Right. One person's 5 star review is another person's 1 star review. And this was an honest assessment of her reading of the book, which I appreciated. Yeah. And I thanked her for it. And I think she was surprised that I was thanking her for it. Nevertheless, video reviews are now a wonderful thing. And so cool. I have started doing, I don't think I could do 3 video reviews a week, but especially wonderful books, I'm going to take the time to record a video and post it on social media because I think that that's cool. And then you can post it not just on YouTube, but also on all the places, right? Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and also Amazon allows video reviews, which is very helpful. And for one of my books, there was Stop Trying So Leap Hard. one title of one of my books, insert not safe for work word here. And one guy actually is a psychologist and he did an entire review of the book. And he was like, this book is going to mean I don't have any clients anymore. Like, because the book is all about don't try so hard. Like, don't try so hard to impress people.
Oh.
Build your self-confidence, things like that. He's like, I'm not going to have any more clients if everybody reads this book. It was a very funny take on it. It was also my first video review, which I really appreciated.
Cool.
So not just wanting 5-star reviews, but it's part of my overall philosophy, which is if you want something, find a way to give it away, whether it's money, hugs, love, encouragement, gratitude. If you want more of something to come to you, you have to activate the law of giving and receiving, which starts with giving.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love that. I love that you had the thought because I've worked with authors before who are like, but I'm not getting any reviews. And I'm like, how much do you post on other people's pages? You know, you can't just go me and expect everybody to come in. You have to give back, not just that you have to give back. It actually, you know, feels good to give back. It feels good to support other writers and be like,
yes,
you know, you go, I see you there. You are working your behind off and I am impressed. And woo, because we all know, all 3 of us and everybody listening knows how damn hard it is sometimes. And so to have that support and recognition is huge.
It is. Yes. And if you want more reviews, read more books, leave more reviews, encourage more authors, sign up for their newsletters, answer their questions in their newsletters, be an interactive reader. And then as an author, be an interactive author and answer every email. I answer every email. If someone emails me, unless it's mean, if someone's mean or they just keep asking for free advice when I've given them advice or said, here's something you should do. I don't have time to answer everybody's email like that. But if someone just sends me a quick question or they say something nice or they forward me a review, of course I'm going to answer that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
That's so awesome. What else we got, Kim?
So I have a question for you. What is something you would love to talk about, but never get asked?
That's a great question. I don't know that I have an answer off the bat. I think we've covered so many great things that I don't normally get asked, actually.
Oh, good.
Right? About being successful or being a morning person or powering down, things like that.
Oh, awesome. Yay.
That's cool.
I think a lot of people have beliefs that don't serve them and they don't question their beliefs. And if I could give every author one gift, it would be confidence. It would be the gift of confidence, of self-confidence, or it would be the gift of making it a requirement that they work on their confidence every day, that they read something about confidence, that they surround themselves with people who help them to feel confident, all of those things. Because self-confidence is the basis for all action or inaction.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's so true.
So Honoré, what gets you out of bed at 4:15 every morning?
I am so excited to do what I do, Nikita. I feel like at some point, I love what I do so much. And I do a lot. I write books. I help people write books. I run a mastermind. I have a lot of different hats that I wear. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm getting away with something a little bit, that at some that I'm going to wake up from this really good dream and someone's going to go, okay, time to go to work. And I'm going to be a bricklayer in Siberia or something. Like, I really feel like as hard as I work, I don't work hard. And as many hours as I work, I don't work that many hours. Right. And so I just feel so incredibly blessed. And I always have something I'm excited about. I mean, literally about 4 days ago, I was like, only 4 more days of vacation.
That's awesome. You never hear that.
I'm so excited to get back to work, because that break is what I need for my creativity to go into overdrive.
Oh, that's awesome.
Having time away from the soup, right? Getting out of the soup and recharging and resting and having time to read 2 books in one day.
Yeah.
Because I don't have anywhere I have to be or anything I have to do, is such a blessing. And therefore I love work. So I woke up this morning, my alarm was set for 4:30, but I woke up at 4:15 and like rolled over and turned on the coffee maker from my app. Right.
Cause it's set. Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome. Set to go off at 4:30, but I turned it on. I was like, ooh, I get to get up now. I get to do this. And I think if that's not how someone feels about their life, then it might be time. I was listening to an audio program this morning on the treadmill, and the guy said, you're not a tree. You can move. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay in the job you're in. You don't have to stay in the relationship you're in. You're not a tree. This isn't where you're planted and you have to stay there. And I thought, gosh, if that's not the God's honest truth, but there's literally nothing that I would change. I would just do more. I wish my brain didn't run out of capacity. Right? I wish at 8 o'clock I wasn't tired.
That's
the only thing I would change.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome. Oh my gosh. Honoré, this has been such a delight talking with you.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I know our listeners are going to want to learn more about you. So what's the best way for them to connect with you or learn more about you?
Well, they can go to my website, honorecorder.com. And on the front of my website, right on that first page, is a free 8-day write your book challenge. So it's an 8-day email sequence that'll kind of just get them into motion and start to build the habit of writing. So if they're stuck or they want to just get started, that's a good place to start. And then I'm everywhere on all the socials.
Awesome.
Easy to find, not hard, extra friendly.
Oh, extra friendly and like brilliant and a badass, like my favorite combination. So,
yes.
Well, right back to you, Kib. And from the very first minute I met you, you are a breath of fresh air and sunshine. And I love it. I always know when I talk to you, I'm going to hear a woo-woo and I'm just going to feel so good. I'm going to feel so good talking to you, which is not everybody, but wouldn't it be great if it was, Nikita, right? Wouldn't it be great if you knew whenever you encountered someone, they were going to be a breath of fresh air and it was,
you're
going to walk away feeling better? That's Kim for me. So thank you, Kim. And thank you, Nikita, for having me in such a great conversation.
Thank you. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now it's time for Gregarious Goofballs.
So now it is time for Gregarious Goofballs. Yay!
Woohoo!
So, oh my gosh, Nikita, me and Zoom.
Oh, goodness.
I use me a So I think you and I were both using Zoom before the COVID, right? And so continue using it. It's a beautiful tool. Technology is a wonderful thing when it works, right? almost every time I use Zoom, there's something wackadoodle that happens between the now cliche, you're on mute, or I can't get into the room. Well, I had set up a Zoom meeting for a client, and I really thought I had it together, right? I was like, okay, I've set up, you know, I put the agenda in the meeting. Like I was like super hyper organized. I made sure that the team was coordinated because it was going to be me and two of my team members on with our client. And so I'm like, okay, you know, the magic hour hit. It was time to get on. And our client wasn't getting on the Zoom call. And I was like, oh no, Zoom flaked and did something wacky. No, I forgot to invite her. I invited our team members and I forgot to send an invitation to our client. And it made it worse because this was her first Zoom meeting. And she specially went out and bought, I don't know her setup at home, but she bought a little camera to go along with it.
Oh,
so
no.
She was freaking out thinking it was something on her side.
Oh no.
And I was like, we finally got on and said, no, honey, it was me. Hanging my head in shame over here.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
So how about you?
So I was thinking about some things that I've done and just life. So I decided to take a trip down. Did I ever tell you about the going, I'm guessing this, no, this was high school. Did I tell you about my couple skate fiasco?
I don't think so.
So, you know, back in high school, you know, like in our era, roller skating was big. I mean, it's becoming a thing again now, but yeah. Roller skating, you know, when we were teens, roller skating was kind of a big thing, going and hanging out with your friends at the roller skating rink. And so I was never a good skater. I admired the people that could skate with finesse. I was the one that always, I had, my arms are always out. Like, I learned how to balance. And for some reason, every time I got to that dang on disco ball, I fell. Because it was the disco ball messed up my concentration. It's like, So we used to go to the skating rink like every week in the summertime. And there was this guy that would like, me and all my friends would like, ooh, and I'm like, oh, he's like really tall and cute. Like, oh, look at him.
Yeah.
And so we always like eyed him like he was a cute guy in the skating rink. Right.
Yeah.
And he was a really good skater too.
Yeah.
So one week they did the couple skate. And he actually came up and asked me to skate with him.
Oh, like,
and so if you remember back in the day, when you do the couple skate, one of you has to skate backwards and the other one skates forward. So he was this more skilled skater. So he did the backward skate and he's like holding my hand. And of course, I'm like, but it was cool. We were talking, you know, he was like, a good enough. Yeah, I was wobbly, but you know, he kept me. So we're doing good, right? He's skating, I'm skating. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm skating with the cool guy at the skating rink. And so, you know, when you come around to where everybody is, like the open space, you know, you go all the way around and then you come in and it's like everybody's there where you waved all your friends. As soon as we came around the corner, I was like, face.
Oh man,
I was trying so hard. I was like, I want to sit down.
Oh,
talk about embarrassing. I couldn't even get through one song without falling and waited until I got in front. Of course, everybody laughed at me.
Oh, man.
It was so embarrassing.
Funny.
That's got to be probably one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, even remembering it today.
Thank you for sharing. Oh my gosh, Nikita Honore is amazing.
I think I have another girl crush now. She is so amazing.
She's fantastic. Oh my gosh. And you know, the fact that she's the co-author of Miracle Mornings, and that's a book that
Miracle Mornings for Writers has been a book that I've treasured for years. And I'm like, you co-wrote that? Holy macaroni. But I think what I liked about what she shared is it's the little things that you do to be effective, to be your best. Like she talked about having her coffee machine set up at a certain time and lighting a candle. And she sets her schedule so she gets up at the same time every morning. But she also is really transparent about the fact that she goes to bed early, which enables her to get up.
To do that. And it's funny because I think about that now when I wake up, because I never wake up when I want to, but I also don't go to bed when I'm supposed to.
Right. So
now I feel like I can hear her voice like echoing in my head, like, oh, go to bed when you're supposed to. One of the things I absolutely love is her term. You know, we asked her about the pantser plotter thing, which we, you know, we're complete pantsers. And she came up with her own, what was it again? Was it, she's a plantser?
Plantser. Yeah.
Plantser, which I absolutely love because that's really like the perfect storm of the two, right? And I think any of us that are striving to be the best at what we do, really, it's always best to meet in the middle, right? Because I mean, I love the fact that I'm a pantser, but I know that there are anything too much to the extreme. Like I know the value of an outline too, but if we could find some way to kind of get in that middle and get the best of both, wow, how effective can you be? And she's figured that out.
Oh, I thought that was fantastic. And I was so glad that you shared that when you use an outline that's improved your process as well. I was like, that's so cool. So,
oh my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. I really liked her quote where she said, what we utter becomes our outer world. Like, yeah, it's kind of like a more elegant way of saying you, not what you are, you eat that, but you are what you speak, right? Or you are what you write, you know, or to quote Pink Floyd, all you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be.
Oh,
but it's true.
Yeah. No, it's very true. Yeah. I love, she also said, she had so many great quotes that we took down. You must be high maintenance to be a high performer. And I love that because, you know, immediately when you think high maintenance is, you almost have to, we almost feel like we have to apologize if we think of ourselves as being high maintenance, right?
Yes.
But if you are a high performer, shouldn't you go that extra mile to take care of yourself? So I love the fact that she gave permission for us to be able to do that.
Yes, I absolutely love that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So amazing.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Sociable Scribes podcast. Don't forget to tune in next week to learn more amazing tips on writing and publishing. And if you like this podcast, please leave us a review and share it with a friend.